Coming at you with a special edition of shouldidrinkthat.com.
Or even
where
if it's
even
crap,
if it's crap,
we drink it.
So you don't have to.
What's you know,
up,
after
Father Spoon?
Like,
how you doing, man?
Like after 6 years or 7 years of doing this, you think we'd be able to get our intro?
Yeah, you know.
That was right, but no,
that's
I
what
still
we do off
up.
The cuff, man. That's why people love us. So what we got going on tonight, Spoon? We
it
have
happens.
Special
so,
guests,
hey, this is
man.
A special, very special video going on right now. If you're watching the video, we've got two other people in here with us. Wait, we're okay, so there's my camera, so we're going this way. We have two other people with us. Gentlemen, welcome to Should I Drink That? Let the fine folks know who you are.
What's up?
Starting with Jeff.
My name is Jeff McCullough, president, head research aficionado, Erie Aleworks.
And I'm Steve. I guess the working title would be general manager, co-brewer. Fill in the blank, you know. Jack of all trades.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Jack of all trades, master of none. Yeah.
I never knew I could juggle, but. And now.
He's the bocce coach, too, by the way.
And here comes the president.
Hair club president, yeah. Once again, I survived.
Yeah, I mean, if you're watching this video, I mean, this is the ultimate in beard choices, facial hair selection right here. I'm loving this.
It's like came from the town shrubbery or something.
Right on. I'm loving it.
So you guys represent Erie Ale Works, a new upcoming brewery out of Erie, Pennsylvania. So why don't you tell us a little bit about Erie and what you guys have planned and why you're here, besides to make great beer?
Great beer is number one, I guess. Second reason would be been following you guys, Should I Drink That guys, for a while on the interwebs. And
thank you for that.
Enjoy what you do. I think you guys do a good job. And we are opening our own microbrewery in early 2013, and we're trying to get the word out for our Kickstarter program. We're opening the same way that Jason Lavery and Jason Lynch opened up through an alternating proprietorship at Lavery Brewing Company. We're going to be brewing with those guys, which is awesome. They're very, very fun to work with and easy to work with. We've got our Kickstarter program going right now, which is actually after today is doing really well, I feel, and Steve can add to that, I'm sure. Steve's the one that gets all the emails, so his BlackBerry's been blowing up today like crazy.
Yeah, you got another $25 for me today, so.
Nice.
Yeah?
That's great. These have been the best emails of my life.
Actually, I can imagine, huh? Yeah.
That email is fun again, I guess.
Right. Something to look forward to in your email.
Yeah, exactly.
For a change.
Definitely.
It must have been that mustache cowboy email that came through. But yeah, things are going well. We're we're first time business owners. Erie, PA as a city and a community has seen a whole lot of businesses take off. And by take off I mean leave town. So this is our chance to kind of give back to the community and help build a business with their support. And so far, it seems to be going okay. Steve? I waited for you to start drinking.
Yeah, that's the question. I had to take a sip. just to reinforce what Jeff has said, I mean, there's obviously craft brewing is still building. There's plenty of room here for us to, you know, take a crack at it and add some things and, hopefully give something back to, the city we both live in and, do it through craft beer. It seems like the best and most effective way for us to, contribute on a local scale. So,
right. I think it's important that you mention local as well, Steve. I mean, you guys are concentrating on being local as much as possible, correct?
Yeah. That's going to be the main goal here. One thing about Erie is people are extremely loyal to the city. Mm-hmm. There's some brands here that are really big and people will, you know, like a product just because it's made in Erie. People stick by stuff pretty well around here, just due to locality.
And, sure, it's a matter of local pride.
And we're not just riding that wave because it's there. I mean, we feel the same way. We want to be a part of that. We want to share something.
You have that same pride, yeah, sure.
Yeah. So that's been a big motivating factor. And, you know, and the fact is, we've talked about it, if we lived in a different city, this probably wouldn't be possible. But it is possible here, and we think we've got the tools and the skills to at least give a hell of an effort towards it. And, you know, we'll hope that it takes off.
Right, and I'm sure it will. I mean, I know you guys have the support behind you. What's your, I don't know which one you guys want to start first, maybe kind of together, but what's your background as far as craft beer or just beer in general?
I started as a home brewer about 4 years ago, and I started brewing with my buddy, who was an extract brewer, still is an extract brewer.
A great extract brewer.
Yeah, he makes
nothing the best, wrong with extract, man.
He makes the best pepper beer I've ever had in my life.
Awesome.
Honestly. Oh wow.
Went and brewed a couple batches with him and learned the process, and then I got hooked and I asked for everything for Christmas, you know, and then. Then there was no looking back, you know. Then all of a sudden I had 55 buckets in my house, and you know, I was brewing every other weekend, just trying really crazy stuff. And then Steve started working with me at my day job, and we just discovered that, you know, we love beer the same, and kind of just talked more and more, and then just kind of said maybe we can make a go of this professionally. And we feel that Erie has already a decent amount of good brewers here.
Certainly.
Nowhere near saturated at all. So we hope to take advantage of that. But, in fact, can you guys see?
Oh, we got a tour.
Hey!
There's the beer cave. Yeah, that's our amber that's fermenting away. That lid is about ready to pop off, by the way. yeah. Next to it is the first version of that in the carboy, and then some bottles of
miscellaneous porter. Shelf back there.
It's my shelf of bottles porter that we've been giving out samples of porter, which is kind of borderline Baltic porter. It's like 6%. Drink anywhere near, I feel like a 6.7% beer.
That one is built a little bit. A little bit on the high side of the BJCP guideline, so you know.
One yeah, drink. You know, there's a fine line with me with those guidelines, you know.
Oh, sure.
It's guideline. A great reference, but if you stick with it, then the creativity's lost, in my opinion.
So they're called guidelines, and not rules.
Yeah, right? Yeah, but some people take them way too seriously. That's what I'm trying to say.
No, that's true. Do whatever you want with them. I mean, it's if everyone stuck with the guidelines, then everybody would be drinking the same beers.
Well, yeah, exactly.
You're right.
We're pretty close.
We always like to start, though, just to make sure that, you know, things are somewhat authentic. Kind of start within the guidelines.
Sure.
We'll build it out. That was the first, you know, our first try at that, and it was successful. So, I mean, we've got only good things
right.
to do. Right,
and, you know, even on that note, Steve, I think that every brewery, brew pub needs a good base. Start making the oddball stuff anyways.
Yeah. Well, and we don't kid ourselves. We've got tons to learn, brewing, business, all that kind of stuff. We feel like with starting out, we're not going to produce, you know, something super boring and super bland, but it'd behoove us to at least start with something that is going to, you know, get our name out there. People will, you know, things that people want to drink and all that kind of stuff without coming out of the gate with, you know, something crazy.
Sure, yeah.
You know, open wild yeast, open fermentation, you know, like, I think it's good to kind of knock on the door before you break in, you know.
Yeah, that's well put, man. I like the way you put that. That's great.
Yeah, we've had some, from, I guess, past success in our tasting category, if you will. We've had some really good luck with a rye pale ale that I've not had anybody say that they disliked it. It was when you have a Red's rye or any kind of rye, it's kind of like there's the rye. You can totally taste it up front. But this one is very, it's very subtle. Would you agree, Steve? It's very easy to drink.
Yeah, yeah, and that's definitely one of the goals is balance for us. There's no, personally, I don't feel there's any reason to go over the top. You know, I mean, you can dump hops, you can make 100 IBUs if you want. That's fine.
Yeah.
In the balance sketch, like beer is, you know, it's a, not to get all philosophic, but it's a marriage of parts. And
hey, we like philosophic, man. Roll with that.
There you go. But you know, I don't want to taste, you know, pure chocolate malt because that's gross, and I don't want to taste nothing but hops. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, balance. Balance will be the first, you know, main goal.
Yeah, balance is key. And like going back to the rye beers, even there's a lot of them out there that just taste like supermarket liquid smoke poured into a beer. You know,
yeah,
it's just too much.
Yeah.
So yeah, I prefer especially that style on the subtler end of it.
Sure. Yeah, just because it's subtle doesn't mean it's not good. You know.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
You're gonna have different types of drinkers. You know, everyone's got their thresholds.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. But
I mean, me right now, I'm drinking a Fatheads Headhunter IPA, which is
nice. Yeah.
A pretty hoppy bastard. So.
Yeah.
I love their Peter Griffin Tiger labels.
Oh, I know, that's awesome.
Love those things. They're cool. I like Fatheads a lot. A lot of respect for those guys.
Yeah, same here, man.
Same thing with Church. Church Brewworks just won best large brew pub, right? At GabFest?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's was cool. It best large or best mid-size? Or was it best large? Yeah, you're right.
It was best large. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, congrats to those guys for sure.
They also picked up four medals of their own. Or three medals of their own. Yeah, foils, four. Because they picked up three out of their variety case, and then one that's not the variety case, and then also Full Pint picked up one also for Pittsburgh. So we came away with five medals and one hell of a nice title there.
Yeah. Show the belt.
We showed a belt. Representing the Berg. Actually, you know, it's only even more than the Berg. It represents PA in a great light as far as craft beer goes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure. You know, every time I talk to somebody that's not from PA, all I hear is Philadelphia, Philadelphia, Philadelphia. There's a lot more to it than that, you know?
Yeah.
So it's good to get that recognition out there.
Well, I mean, it's crazy the way that's spreading. I mean, just take a trip down 79 between Erie and Pittsburgh. You know, you've got all kinds of places you'd never dream that you'd have a place, you know.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Slippery Rock that's as good as it is. You know, mm-hmm. Meadville has made it, you know.
Voodoo.
Exactly. That's awesome. That's great.
Yeah, Matt's doing a great job.
You don't have to live in, you know, Boulder to be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You can live wherever you want.
Yeah, you have to be in the big cities here to get great craft beer. I mean, it's especially. I mean, look what you guys are doing in Erie. That's a perfect example that you know, craft beer is popping up all over the place.
And you know, I think I've talked about this before on the show, but. And this is a good time to bring it up as well. I mean, this kind of happened in the Pittsburgh area back in the 90s, where all these little brew pubs start popping up in the Strip District, and a lot of them failed because people were in it for the money and not for the love of the beer or the craft, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
People are comparing now to then. I don't think you can do that because, to me, it's a lot different now. You get a lot more people, you know, that are more passionate about the beer and, you know, the business and the money. Sure, that's great, but they're in it for the craft beer, not for a quick buck. And that's where I see the difference now.
That's a great point. We at, you know, last local homebrew meeting, we had a conversation that was, you know, very similar to that. And it's just the base is, you know, not everybody is at our level, you know, not everyone's a connoisseur yet, but everybody is at least familiar with a few things.
Sure.
You know, and you can tell that people are starting to pay attention, and Erie has definitely undergone a transformation even in the last 4 months. Places where you would never find any craft beer of any, you know,
mm-hmm.
of any sort are putting in, you know, 10, 15 tap systems, and they're really doing well. You know, it's taken off. So that, I think that's a good sign as well.
Well, you bring up a really good point in the fact that growing up in Erie, I knew that Erie was always, you know, it's a beer and a shot kind of town. It's usually out there 25-cent drafts, and you want to get a shot with it or whatever. So what do you think created that change in the market? What do you think it was that finally woke everyone up to say, hey, there's great craft beer coming out of Erie? Because I mean, it's Erie Brewing Company has made beer for a while.
Sure.
Since the early to mid-90s. Mm-hmm. And it's now that people are starting to pick up on it. What do you think it was that finally, you know, was the grand awakening sort of to people up there?
I think it's just consumer education. I think that the consumer, the beer drinker, maybe have just gotten bored with, you know, American light lagers. They have way more choices than they've ever seen, mm-hmm. and the wholesalers are picking up on that, thinking that they can make a couple extra bucks on bringing in brand XYZ in addition to, if they're already a Miller House or Bud House or whatever, they can capture that outside audience, I guess, have a marketing background. So if I talk to high level marketing crap, let me know.
Hey, now roll with it, man.
So these guys see this additional audience sitting over here that they're like, man, we need to cater to these guys. These are the people that are willing to spend 12, 15 bucks on a six pack or higher. We need to give them something to buy so they don't spend it somewhere else. And I think that from my experience, Erie's a little bit slow to catch on to many things, you know, technology and beer. We're getting into that area now where places like we have the Upixix Tap House at 4th and State, which has a continually rotating tap list. Rack and Roll, Father Spoon, if you remember Rack and Roll from your days in town, has, Steve, how many taps do they have now?
Oh, it's more than, it's, you know, at least 8, I think.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean,
that's right.
A place where you wouldn't expect to
the
play.
Last time we were there, we were there for a meeting, and they had Dogfish 90 Minute on tap. They had Southern Tier Double IPA, so among other ones. But even a place like that, where that's your shot in a beer type of audience, you would think, it's kind of branching out, and we wouldn't be right there with those guys because there's more opportunity, I think, now than ever.
Sure, and even to add to that too, I think it also creates kind of a new culture for a town like Erie, you know. It gets people talking and you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we're lucky because Wine Country is right next door.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, you get,
now, do you think that helps Erie in the beer world or hurts it?
Absolutely, because they can only pair off each other, I feel, where you get I know the guys who run Courtyard Winery is one of the nice, very, very nice wineries in Northeast, and I asked them in the summertime, where do all the people come from? And they said 60% are from Pittsburgh. So,
mm-hmm. Wow.
That says it right there. Everybody who, you know, the man and the wife or you know, what the male and the female that go to Courtyard will hit other wineries. They may not want to drink wine the whole time, or maybe the wife wants to drink wine, the husband doesn't, or vice versa. You know, there's alternatives now other than, you know, the big brands, the big beer brands, and that's in our business plan. We talk about that specifically because Erie is such a unique place to have this beer culture.
Yeah, that's great. I can hear that conversation in the car now. You had your wine, honey. Let's stop at a six-pack shop and get me some beer.
Yeah. Or she's passed out.
Oh, yeah, right.
From drinking.
Well, and I think people make there's a connotation a lot of times when you come from the beer side and you talk to people about beer about, hey, this is what's going on the wine side of things. They're instantly, you know, red flag. They're thinking, you know, bourgeoisie, pinky drinking, you know. It's like,
yeah, oh, yeah, sure.
You can, that's not true. And so to think that there is no audience for you in that spectrum is you're doing yourself a disservice because, like you just said, it's not true at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree, man.
Interesting. We're you know, we have something that Pittsburgh doesn't have. Pittsburgh and Cleveland and Buffalo, and they have many things that we don't, but we're unique in the fact that we have this wine country here where there's 26 wineries within, you know, a short distance, really, that we can kind of pair off of. And not just us, but Lavery, Erie Brewing, Brew Erie, even Voodoo. I know people that have driven all the way down to Meadville.
Even I hear people even talking about, you know, they're going to Wine Country, but they're going to stop at Sprague on the way. You know,
sure.
So, you know, that's also a destination there as well.
Yep.
Well, yeah. That's, I mean, you're talking about something that's really kind of unique to the craft beer movement as well. You know, it's not, you're going to have your people who, you know, put a beer. They know what they like, and they drink it, and they'll try it. But then you're also talking about the set of people who are in for the entire experience that want to do the...
That would be me. I'm that person, yeah.
That wanted brewery, that want to do, you'll have people that want to do that. You need to pay attention to them. You'll have people that don't want to do that. You want to pay attention to both of them. And I think it's cool that there's so many choices. You know, it's going to be hard for you to find one person to drive, you know, 90 miles to visit one brewery. Well, if you drive
tell
90
me about
miles
it.
And you know that there's, you know, four breweries and 26 wineries all within a short drive, that's a weekend. That's great.
Right, I just need to date a girl that belongs to AA or something so she can drive. I need a designated driver for that trip.
Yeah, I don't care. Seriously.
Okay, guys, we're getting pretty close in time here. One final pitch to everybody listening right now. Kickstarter, we want them to donate. We want them to give money. Let them have it. Let them know why they should have. Why you should have their money.
Actually, as we were talking, you guys got another donor.
Let's see.
You're up to 101 backers, man.
Yeah,
these guys are, and you're pledging for an $8,000 goal, correct?
Yeah.
And you guys are already up to 6216, so they're really, really close. And anybody out there, you know, fans of the show, fans of these guys, fans of Erie.
There it is.
Yeah, there it is.
There you go.
You know, get on a Kickstarter.
Yeah, 101.
Come on.
There you go.
And help these guys out, you know.
The easiest way to navigate is either track us down on Facebook. Kickstarter, they don't provide a nice short URL.
Yeah, it's an ugly URL, yeah.
Track us down on Facebook. We've got links, social media all over the place. Or EerieAleWorks.com has a Kickstarter button and link there. You know, you just hit, you know, submit a pledge, and you know, the rest is pretty easy to follow through on.
Yeah, especially if you shop on Amazon. That's one thing I like Kickstarter is you can just pay through your Amazon account.
Yeah, if you've done it,
it makes it so easy. Yeah,
exactly.
The whole to kind of dial off of that is the whole impetus for our Kickstarter is to get the community to, I guess, help build a business. I've heard many conversations in my line of work where, you know, all these misses are leaving town and you know, jobs are shipping overseas and going out of town, whatever. This is the community's chance to make an impact on that. And by giving only, you know, $25, you get whatever you get for that, a bottle opener and a sticker or whatever. You're helping create, you know, initially one, two jobs, Steve and I, but that's going to grow. That's going to get bigger because that we will make it grow bigger. So
And you guys will be hiring more people, therefore, in paying more taxes and helping the community out overall. So
sure,
more taxes. That's immediately what I think of first off.
Yeah, me too.
We're gonna, you know, we're building a business here in town because this is where we live. This is where we want to stay. So every little bit helps. $1 a person helps. And it goes to something that's important, creating, you know, an improved economy in this area.
Right, and it can happen. I mean, we just, you know, supported our friends, their shoe brew in Zelianople. You know, they had their Kickstarter project, and they, you know, they're kicking it in.
One liter bottles of beer at a time.
So what are you drinking there, Jeff?
That's our porter.
That's a porter? Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
I got to get you guys some of that.
Oh, yeah.
No, don't bother. Yes. Hell yes.
We don't drink beer.
Yeah, we don't. It's not a beer show. No, not at all.
Just one last thing about the Kickstarter. We really just want to make sure that everybody knows that Jeff and I really appreciate all the people that have already backed us, all the people that, you know, are going to back us. You know, we want to make sure that you guys realize that, you know, we recognize that, and it means a lot to us. So, you know, a big thanks.
Awesome, guys. Hey, it's been great having you on the show. You guys are welcome back anytime.
Awesome.
Hell, we'll put you on as co-host one of these days. How's that sound?
There we go. Hey.
As long as I get one of those fancy name things, I'm in.
Yeah, we'll get to one of those.
Well, these bottom thirds things. Hey, we're just now figuring out the whole inner tubes thing, so it took a lot to get that on there.
For $9.95, you can have your own. No.
Oh, ooh.
Awesome. Awesome.
All right, guys. Hey, it's been a pleasure, man. Yeah, thanks for stopping by. And like I said,
big,
welcome
big
back.
Thanks to you guys for having us on. That's awesome.
No problem. That's what we're here for. It's what we do.
Excellent.
We love the local. We love the beer. We love the community. So, you know.
We're full of love.
Yeah, we are.
We're regular Tonka Teddy.
We don't make any money off of this show. We just do it for the love. And I like to call this show, this is our deficit show.
Yeah. Hey, we get beer out of it, so whatever.
We do it for the love of beer. Craft beer, that is. But awesome. All right, guys. Anything else to add before we let you go? We good?
No.
Good.
Thanks a lot.
All right, man. We will talk to you guys soon, man.
Cheers. All right, puppy. Puppy, take us out. You ready?
Take all three of you out? Is that what you're saying?
Four, should I drink that.com? This is the most reverend Father Spoon.
This has been Sick Puppy.
Or even if it's crap.
We drink it.
So you don't have to.
That's right.
Bitches.
Bitches.
Eat a bullet.